Welcome back to the Ugly Podcast. A quick note before we jump into the episode. Emerson and I were very excited to record this episode, and in all of the excitement, I did not have them actually introduce themselves. So I'm going to do it for them. So my original co-host, Emerson Lee, is an end-of-life and disability doula who focuses on the entire dementia journey from pre-diagnosis to continuing bonds after death and neurodiversity of all kinds. They are a certified dementia practitioner and certified Montessori dementia care professional, and they've got a lot of really amazing things going on about how we can live more fully, not only if we get dementia one day or when we get dementia one day, but also just in our everyday lives. You can follow them on Instagram at Let's Make Moments, or you can find their website, makinghappymemories.com. To learn more about their services, the Momo Maps, and the treasure hunts. I hope you enjoy this episode. It's very special to me. I had a great time. Thank you, Emerson, for joining me. I love you so much. Welcome to the Ugly Podcast. I am your host, Lauren Alexander, she, they, and this is the place where creatives are encouraged to make messy, ugly art and let go of perfectionism. I started this podcast with my creative partner, Emerson, and we've since grown into our businesses, and this podcast is now evolving into a space where I interview other creatives to discuss our creative processes and how we navigate the mental minefield of creativity. This podcast serves as a reminder that you and your art get to be whatever the hell you want to be, ugly and all. Okay. This is appropriate. Okay, so this is the 1 year anniversary show of the Ugly Frickin' Podcast. And yay. I need those those air horns that bray, 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 bray.
Yeah, dude, I literally am gonna pull something up.
Please do.
I don't know why
it sounds atrocious.
That was so much worse than I anticipated.
Perfect. For anybody listening who recognizes the voice with me, my original co-host, the person who started this podcast with me, is back.
Yay!
It's Emerson.
Yeah, it's me.
Yay. So thank you for coming back and joining me. I purposely have two questions I want to ask, but otherwise I just figured we would just catch up since the last time you were on. And I did a bunch of research for this, and by research I just went back and listened to all of our old episodes. And it's very interesting to see how the podcast has evolved. Especially just starting off, we were talking so much about just entrepreneurship in general, and now it has shifted so much to creativity and stuff. So that was very interesting. I mean, it's always been an integrated part of it because creativity was what really fueled our entrepreneur journey. But yeah, all that to say is I missed you.
I missed you too.
So how have you been? Tell everybody what you've been doing and how things have been with you.
Oh my gosh. So I also have no structure, but I wrote a very short list, and it starts with autistic and 3 exclamation points.
Yes. So
that's how I've been. I've been quite autistic. That's the biggest change. Last November, I sought out a diagnosis and found out that I have been autistic for 30 years and didn't know it. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. I love it. I tell people I welcome congratulations, not condolences.
Yes.
Yeah, it feels really good to not be pretending to be neurotypical. And mm-hmm. that correlates with my work very closely. For those who don't know, I work in the field of dementia, and specifically in the field of helping people living with dementia to have the best possible lives. And so I'm exploring a lot more of kinship of people who have different kinds of brains and how we all have fallible brains, and that's okay. and really celebrating that. And that's been a really, really cool shift.
Yeah, I've loved watching that shift. What did you change your title to again?
I am a disability doula now.
Yes, I love it. It's so appropriate for what you do. And just, I mean, how you've been living for your entire life, like since you've started advocating for yourself, which you've been advocating for yourself as long as I've known you, you are constantly looking for how can I make this situation better for myself and for others around me? And it is of no surprise that this is the direction that you're going in.
I love hearing that reflection from you because, of course, I've been living inside of it, but it's cool knowing mm-hmm. other people have seen it too, because it really is so tied into my own journey for now decades / my whole life. And yeah, it really does feel like the most I have to offer as a disability doula is my own lived experience of having to fight so hard and accommodate and explain and research and try different things and be on that journey myself. And of course, supplemented that with professional knowledge as well. But yeah, I appreciate you seeing that that is very tied into my own journey.
Yes. Yeah. All right, what else you got on that list of yours?
Momo maps.
Yes.
I'm just going to say things that don't make sense at first and then explain them.
Great.
Yes. So the other thing that I'm doing is sharing a tool that I created. It's like my favorite thing ever and is the foundation of all the work I've done with people living with dementia and my own joy practice. And so I'm sharing that with the world, and that feels really good to have like this tool that I am like, this is my thing. I brought it into the world and now I want everyone to have one. So that has a lot of momentum for me behind it. And it's MOMO stands for more moments. And it also is what we call my grandma. So that has been really beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. So that also is happening and that feels really, really good. I think for a long time when we were talking on this podcast, I think we both felt like we didn't quite know yet what we were doing or mm-hmm. what we had to offer. And I feel like we both found things that feel really aligned. And that's really, really cool to experience and witness in each other as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's funny you bring up just like kind of comparing where we are now versus where we were when we first started this, because obviously as I was contemplating on this episode, okay, looking back on a year of doing this and what was frustrating to me for a little bit was that I felt like I've largely been standing still. And I know I haven't, but it's that and I know I've done so many things, but it's still that it's that unavoidable, unescapable feeling of nothing's different, even though everything is different. And I went to one of Frankie Doodle Dandy's on Instagram, one of her Church of Bread and Roses nights, which if you don't know what those are, they are just kind of these beautiful reflection times that Frankie hosts on Instagram Live that are just a really beautiful way to connect with yourself at the end of a weekend and at the start of your week. And when I went, she talked about this feeling and I was like, oh my God, the universe. but this feeling of when you feel like you've been standing still and you feel like you've just been going around in a circle, it is this idea of shifting that perspective to then thinking, what if instead of on a circle, you're on a spiral? And so you feel like you are standing in the same place, but if you look down, there are layers and layers of other circles behind you, and you have just been like traveling up this spiral. And you're still, you might have some of those similar feelings, but you have so much more experience behind it now. And that has really been helping me like shift how I'm viewing what's happening. And how I'm feeling right now. And I love, okay, so this is kind of, I'm just bouncing around. I love what you're talking about MOMO maps, because in some of the earlier episodes, you were really like, you mentioned MOMO maps. At the time they were called Happy Maps. And you had that like fear of like sharing it, like being really concerned about like copyright and like, oh, I just don't know like how to share this correctly. And I love seeing how you have embraced it moving forward of like, I want this in everybody's hands. I want it everywhere. It's just backed by so much love and excitement for this project. And I love seeing it flourish.
Thanks. I love your spiral idea because I do feel like what I'm offering now is very aligned. I also feel like I am so much less far on the journey than I'd like to be, especially financially. Mm-hmm. That part's really hard. I'm like, cool, I've, done a lot of presentations. I've done a lot of education. I have worked with a lot of people, but it has been just not anywhere near a living. And, it's hard to not quantify it that way. But mm-hmm. I think about that spiral. And to me, the core of that spiral is like the why and mm-hmm. the energy behind yeah. what we offer. And I'm always close to that. And you're always close to that for yourself. And so it feels like we're just kind of circling the same thing. But we should be. We should be circling the same core thing and just getting, ascending further up it.
Yeah. I love that addition to what you're spiraling around. That's really cool.
Yeah. Do you want to share anything about where your spiral has gone over? I mean, you've been sharing things as you go, but you have the opportunity now to talk just about yourself instead of talking with, someone else and their things.
Oh, you're so right. And my stomach just did a little, because I have been able to like turn this on to other people. And I'm just like, I want to hear what you're going through. Instead of like actually looking at what I am doing, because I still feel like an ugly mess a lot of the time, but that's kind of my thing. So
that's your brand.
It works out. So I've really enjoyed where this podcast has gone, just in terms of who I've gotten to speak to. I had my dream guest come on, Heather Buchanan. If you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it because it's fantastic. And so many of these things have happened that have been so positive, but it's interesting how you have these expectations of what's going to happen once you hit that milestone or once you get that dream client. And then when nothing really changes after that, you're like, oh, okay. So I'm not famous. Great. Not that I wanted that, but just, it does make you kind of look more inward of like, why am I doing this? Because this podcast is lovely and I love it. But if you're listening, you are one of not that many people. Let's be honest. Like there are like fewer than 100 people, I think, maybe listen to this podcast. And that's fine with me. But it is, it's an interesting way of viewing our art, right? Like we have to come to terms with how many people are seeing it, how many people like it, and what are we okay with, and what are we actually looking for? And I think for me, just the act of doing this and the practice of letting it exist in its imperfect form and knowing that it's not this big sensation and that's okay, like, and loving it regardless, that is a process that I think I'm still actively in. And I think we all kind of have to come to terms with that with our art. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm, at least with the podcast, that's where I'm at. Oh no, I have to keep talking.
Yes,
you do. And then, my business has been going pretty well. I've gotten a couple new clients recently, editing clients, which has been really nice. And my freelance editors club run by Tara Whitaker has been just such a great support. Like finding that community has been essential. And we're going through these like marketing challenges and like really pushing each other to get down how to do business because business is freaking hard. It's been good. And also like making my business feel more like a job at times, Whereas it has been more like fun, creativity. And now it's like, no, it is a job you have to do. Mm-hmm. Which is both good and bad, because good, like, I've made more money this month than I have the entire time I've been in business. Not total, but like per month. Anyway. But also, like, I'm stressed, man.
Yeah. It's so much different to run it like a hobby we care a lot about than a business that is designed to make money. And that is a huge shift that I am still in. And doing that while maintaining the amount of passion and the heart-centeredness and the creativity, it's a lot.
Yeah, it feels like you have to kind of turn on and off different parts of your brain at times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is like so much of the model of how to make money is, you know, neurotypical. And so, I mean, by many accounts, I am neurotypical and I still don't get it. I was going to say the concept of neurotypical and like what everyone is supposed to be able to do is just trash.
I love that you say that, because that's something I love to share more about on my page and in like moving towards. Like, I don't necessarily think that neurotypical is the opposite of a diagnosed neurodivergent person. Mm-hmm. I think that neurotypical is a way that I think of anything that's really like traditional and structured and formulaic. Like, I don't like reading a lot of neurotypical books, by which I mean books that are like, this happened and this happened and this happened. Like, I like a unique voice, a unique setting, a unique like structure and way of telling it. And same with just anything. I like anything that's just doing something differently and creatively and interestingly, like letting our brains explore different things. And that's what I think of as the opposite of neurotypical. And business is usually quite neurotypical. And this is interesting, because as I'm saying this, I'm thinking like, how can I have a successful business that's not neurotypical, like to harness the non-neurotypical side of things and be successful? Because it's a balance. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to take some of it, but then also you have to see beyond some of it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard.
I was just thinking as you were talking, even before you mentioned that, I was thinking about how two quantifiers for business that feel very prominent are dollars and likes on social media, or follows, or mostly likes and follows is what we tend to look at, and how neither of those necessarily mean much about your business. And you can be, I mean, obviously your business isn't financially thriving, but I feel like my business is thriving as far as the people I'm working with, the things I'm talking about, the content I'm bringing into the world. But the, you know, those quantifiers aren't where I had hoped they would be. And it's really interesting. Some space I've been holding for myself around that is that both sales and social media are very complex social processes that require a lot of knowledge I haven't had until now. And it's just strategy that other people have been running and I have not. And so that's liberating to be like, oh, it's not just that I'm trash and so I can't make money and I can't get followers. Right. It's like, oh, I haven't been like a lot of my colleagues have done sponsorships and then they get tons of followers. And I'm like, that makes so much sense.
And it is comforting to know. I mean, at times it feels like I've been doing this for so long and then I'm like, oh no, I have not. I haven't even been doing this for 2 years yet. Mm-hmm. And so, but then obviously that comes with its own, set of self-doubt and, you know, well, like, why am I even talking? I shouldn't be talking. I don't have nearly enough knowledge to share with people. So how dare I talk about this stuff?
Whichever way you've either been doing it too long and you're not successful enough, or you haven't been doing it long enough.
Right. Exactly. We're just too hard on ourselves altogether is the lesson. And we need to just give ourselves a goddamn break.
I think I would like to take this moment to acknowledge that for both of us being 2 years into our business, we are doing quite well.
I think so.
We're doing really well. When you look at all the different things we've done and brought into the world and people we've connected with and like conversations that have been had and work with people that has improved their lives and their work and their art, we're doing great.
I think so. I like to think so.
Yeah.
This is just going to be an episode of our congratulating ourselves.
It should be. It is our 1 year anniversary. It's yes. So funny because you said it was the 1 year anniversary of the podcast and my brain was like, that's not real. It's been like 3 to 5 years, hasn't it?
I both feel like it was yesterday and was 10 years ago.
I feel like it's been like a decade since we started our businesses, and it has not.
Nope, it sure hasn't. It just ages you, I guess.
Honestly, time moves so much slower. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And also faster. And I think a lot of that is that it's not a neurotypical structure. When you're self-employed, you're setting everything right up yourself. And so you're not doing this 9 to 5 that, you know, our brains process in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So I thought it would be fun to talk about what are some of your favorite ugly moments from the past year.
Ooh. Like creatively?
Anything.
Or anything. One of them has been that I've been taking videos in one take lately. Ooh, and just nice. Embracing whatever happens. And that's been really cool because it lets me get the message into the world faster, so it's efficient, but it's also allowing my brain to just be as it is. And that's mm-hmm. been really nice. I like that. That adding that bit of ugliness that's like, it's really practical to be like, I don't have the time. I'm just going to put this thing out there. Because like, and that goes along with your work. Like if we perfect it, it's never going to be out there. And it's nice yes. to have it out of us.
Yeah. I was thinking about this just the other day because I recorded a video and I was just like, I thought it was like kind of funny. And then I was like, yeah, I'm just going to post it. And then a thought came into my brain of like, no, people aren't going to get this and it's going to come across the wrong way. I'm like, fucking, I'm going to just re-record it. And then sure enough, I couldn't figure out what exactly I did want to say. I was like, I should not have deleted that original video.
Aww.
Well, so I love that that concept, and I'm going to try really hard to implement that going forward because, yeah, I have definitely been feeling the self-doubter on social media a lot more recently. And I've also been trying to like step away from social media and not spend so much time on it. And so then when I do show up and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make this video and I take too long on it, I'm like, nope, I'm taking too long. I'm just going to step away from it. Yeah. But you know, the ugly mentality would suit me well with my social media. I mean, it has suited me well and I've used it well, but, I've been, yeah, just experiencing more self-doubt recently. And I think that's normal.
Yeah. Do you have any idea why you've been feeling more self-doubt around it?
Good question. I think I think some of it has to do with, you know, that belief that like everything you do has to take off, like go viral, get you a sale. And a lot of the stuff that I do don't get me those things. So, and you know, like I'm currently the sole contributor to my household right now. And we're okay financially for a short term of time, but like, I don't make enough money for us to survive off of for long term. So I think there definitely is some of that feeling creeping in of like, oh yeah, like I better get my shit together because I'm the only person making money right now. And like, what am I doing if I'm not like, am I just wasting my time doing all of this? even though I know that I would be doing all of this anyway. Like, if I were by myself and just trying to survive as I am, this is what I would be doing because I love it. And, like, sure, I might have to get, like, a part-time job on the side, but, like, this is what I would be doing. So that does lend some, like, confirmation of, like, yes, I want to be here. I'm doing the right thing. But there is a lot of that doubt that creeps in of, like, you better hurry up and get your shit together. Yeah, I think a lot of it's coming from that.
It's really interesting you say that because my spouse is potentially leaving their job soon. And I have both in this time and just in general, I have that like survival sense too of like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, like I have to start making money because I have to survive. And I think about that a lot, like the urgency that lends our work. Like if I just knew that I would get a small amount that I needed each month, I don't know if I'd be doing anything differently. Just like you're saying, I think I'd still be doing all the same work, but I don't think that I'd be like working late on a Friday because I feel like this thing needs to get done because I'm on this deadline of like make money soon.
Right. Yeah.
It's a very stressful element of self-employment, which people always talk about, you know, like the lack mm-hmm. of job security, but actually living inside of it and that visceral sense of like, I don't feel safe because I don't have the security net that I need is really scary.
It is. And there's just a lot of self-trust that you need to build up. And like, I've done a lot of work to build up that trust, but you know, it's like anything. It's not like we're perfect human beings. And as soon as we learn a lesson, we learn it forever. We learn things and then we slip back into our old coping mechanisms and then we have to relearn things. So I think that's kind of a lot of the feelings that I've been having recently is just like, yep, that self-doubt's poking its head up again. And I have to remember that I have built up this support around me and I have built up a business and a network of people where I have the tools to succeed financially. And I'm going to be okay. I've only been doing this for 2 years. I'm always continuing to climb up that spiral. And, you know, it's just a matter of reminding myself of that and trying to find safety where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And this is why we need universal basic income.
Truly, it would liberate us so much to just do the work, just do what we want to bring into the world and not have that survival instinct. And everyone deserves that. That's what sucks is what would everyone think if we all had that support?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, everyone deserves this. This episode is going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be really scared to put this one out. But here we are sharing ugly moments within owning a business. It happens to all of us.
Mm-hmm. And I think that talking about the ugly moments is so vital because like I didn't know for a while that your business is supposed to still be struggling at 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've seen a lot of things out there being like, especially with like coaching, which we're kind of in a general mm-hmm. coaching sort of role, that you don't make money for a while. That it takes a lot to build up clientele and to know exactly what you're offering, to know like the systems you're offering to people. Like you don't just start a business and have all of your tools and, you know, everything ready to just give to people. And it takes time to develop it. And there's just so much. And when we don't talk about that, then everyone just thinks that they suck all the time.
Yes, exactly. And it's the same with anything. It's the same with sharing your creativity. It's the same with coming up, like growing into your creative life, sharing your writing, sharing your art. If you've never done it before, you don't have the tools, the coping mechanisms, the connections. And so just that stepping into that sphere becomes even more terrifying. And so I think the more we can demystify this process of like, yeah, it's terrifying and it's going to suck for a while, but it's also wonderful and amazing and we love it at the same time. That's all I want, is I just want to demystify that.
Yeah.
Because it's like whenever I hear somebody say like, oh, I just couldn't do that. I just had a person in one of my networking breakout rooms today be like, yeah, I'm an editor. I do write, but I could never share it with anybody. And I just wanted to grab their face through the screen and be like, yes, you can. Because that's where I was at.
Yeah.
It took me so long to be like, no, I can be this person too.
I can just imagine like the face you must have made being like, just not able to say something.
Oh no, I did say something.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I was just like, I used to say that too. Like, it's you. What did I say? I can't remember what I said, but something to the effect of like, we're gonna get you one day.
I love saying that kind of stuff because I have that with working in end of life and dementia, as well as just like smaller things too, like getting tattoos or having really short hair. Like people will say that in casual conversation, like, oh, I can never do that. And it's honestly one of my least favorite things to hear. I find it very I haven't even pinned down the word for it. It just feels like it's almost otherizing in the sense that they're like distancing themselves from like, oh, that's, you know, something that I like, they have a boundary between themselves and the thing that you care about, like especially dementia. I'm like, it shouldn't be a thing that people are like, oh my gosh, I could never. It should be like, well, yeah, it's around and we can support people with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's hard for me to hear that. And I like to challenge it with a nudge like that. Like, oh, actually it's a really fun thing. Like I really enjoy the people I work with, or like, mm-hmm. like you said, like I used to be really scared too, but I shared it. And now I, you know, I've won contests and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing can just be that little seed for someone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. It is this othering and this like, I don't think people mean it this way, but this is how I now take it, as like a self-deprecation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I maybe not deprecation, maybe deprecation's the wrong word, but like you're limiting yourself in what you can experience in this life. Mm-hmm. People do this to like trauma survivors too. Like when people go through these horrible experiences and people say, I could never do that. I don't know how you're doing this. It's like people are resilient. People can do so many things. And it's just, you're limiting yourself by saying, I could never do X. You could do X and you will do X if you have to.
Yep.
But we stay where we're safe and where we're comfortable for as long as we possibly can. And then we point at other people who are outside of that box and like, oh no, I could never.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice to talk about because that comes up a lot and it bugs me so much. So that was a good cathartic one.
Yes. Yeah, me too. I get that a lot with like tattoos and when I cut my hair short. Yeah, everything you just said. You already listed these things.
You have the same ones. I love like, that just brings me back to over 12 years ago when neither of those things were true for either of us. So that's just fantastic.
I know. Well, and I remember when I first got my half sleeve tattoo, it was the biggest tattoo I'd ever gotten. I only had one other small one. And I was just going right in. I'm like, yep, just give me a half sleeve. Here we go. And I was really scared. Like, there was this moment where I was like, oh my gosh, am I the type of person that can actually do this? I really love tattoos, but I don't know if I'm the type of person that can X, that can go get this giant tattoo on my arm. And ever since then, I have felt so free and like, free to express myself in multiple ways and get other tattoos and just decorate my body in ways and have more agency over how I look. And, you know, it's empowering to take that step outside of, oh, I could never do that.
Yeah, it is. I feel like both of us are wanting to nudge people out of the, I could never do that. So it's hard to hear it because we're like, yes, you can actually.
Yes. Yes. Well, and like that's this. Okay. This is the whole thing. This is the whole thing. Like with this podcast, I never thought I would be able to do this. I never thought that I would write a book. I did. I think as I was re-listening to old episodes, I have a string of things that I never thought I'd be able to do. X, 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 X. That sounded like it was dirty. just triple X. but there were so many things I didn't think I could show my face on social media, and the ways that we limit ourselves and the freedom that comes with challenging yourself to do the thing you're scared of or to do the thing you never thought you would do. It changes you and it gets you back in touch with this most authentic part of yourself. And at least for me, it's made me feel so much safer in who I am. Whereas like before, especially growing up with religion that tells you that you're bad and sinful and your body is not to be trusted, doing the scary thing and like learning, oh, I'm actually safe in this body of mine and I can do really scary and hard things and I'm still safe. That's been the most, I mean, that's honestly what I want my book to be about. And what I want my memoir to share is about coming home and finding yourself and finding that authentic part of you that you have mistrusted for so long.
That feels like your like core message, and I love it.
It is. I was like, I was just thinking, I was like, I need to make a soundbite of that. Because it is. That's what I want to write about. That's what I want. Yeah.
That's your spiral.
Yes, that is my spiral. That's where I'm going. Yeah. That is a recent development too, actually. Since we're talking about things that have been happening in our year and how we've been changing, and so I have been working on a book that has been like a fictionalized magical realism of my experience. So I have a different character. I have all different. Nothing is similar to my life aside from the religious aspect of it. But recently I've been running into like more and more roadblocks with it. And when I received Medora Fry's book in the mail, which if you don't know Medora, Medora is an abstract artist and I interviewed her. She's my first person I interviewed once Emerson left the podcast. And it's all about using creativity through trauma. And so I got her memoir, and as I'm reading through it, there was like something in my brain that was just like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Like this is, I love the combination with the poetry in there and the paintings and the, just the way it's folded out. And I was just like, this is how I want to tell my story. Like I keep running into walls with this fictionalized account. It's because my own story keeps kind of barreling through and wanting to be heard. So I am looking at making it a straight up memoir now. Yeah, I'm back to memoir.
That so. Is such a powerful shift.
Mm-hmm.
I love that for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it feels really good. And I already have pieces of it written that I've, you know, just been writing for the last few years, really. So I already have pieces of it. And now I'm just kind of keep plugging away at it and we'll see where it goes.
Yay. That's really cool.
Yeah. Let's see. How are we feeling about this next year?
I feel great about my next year.
Yeah.
I feel less great about not necessarily. I was going to say I feel less great about the steps to get there, cuz it is just, like I said, such a complex social process, mm-hmm. but I have a clearer idea of how to do it. Like I'm doing free presentations and just sharing a lot of value in this presentation. And then anyone who wants to work with me further, I share those options. So I feel really good about everything I'm offering. I feel like it's exactly what I want to offer. I set up my website at kind of the turn of the year. And I was like, everything that's in my website is exactly what I want to be doing. I don't have anything there that I don't want to do. And everything that is there is a huge yes. So that feels great.
Good.
That I feel like that's so much of a business is like, do I even want to be doing what I say that I'm doing or that I feel like I have to do? And that is no longer an issue, which is a huge relief. Cause now I'm like, okay, now I make this work. I don't know exactly how I'm going to make it work, but I'm committed to making this work. And that feels great.
Good. Yeah. I love to hear that.
Yeah. I want to share more about that too. I've told you about the treasure hunts, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I will tell people. Yes. Tell the listeners.
I'm so excited that my job now is to go on treasure hunts with people, by which I mean that they make a mumble map, which is great. It's a really powerful tool. And if you make it and you put it aside, it could serve you well in the future. But it's also something that you can be using every single day through any challenge you're going through. So I'm using it as I learn how to, you know, live my less neurotypical life and navigate the challenges I'm now aware of with my autism. And then people can also use it through grieving or through health conditions or just stress. And how I'm doing that is through treasure hunts, where we, for 5 weeks, we go through and each week we do, we're kind of like walking through, like, how did, like, what challenge did you encounter this week? How did you use something from your map to support yourself? And it's not like, oh, I just did this happy, fun thing and it made everything better. It's like, I had a hard time getting up in the morning, but I played this song and it helped me to be able to get up. Like, it's something that was actually a tangible benefit by connecting to something that was joyful. And that I'm really, really excited for. So that the fact that I just do treasure hunts is just the best thing ever.
I love it. I love it so much. And especially because we know, like, especially those of us who are like chronic self-help pursuers, we can read something or listen to a podcast and think, yes, that would be so beneficial in my life. And then we might even journal about it. We might write about it somewhere. But then we don't ever look at it again. And we never apply it to our actual lives. Mm-hmm. And so I love this idea of, okay, I'm giving you this tool. And I'm actually, and then I want to use it with you throughout your week. And we can actually see how it's going to help you. Because you sometimes you just don't, you also don't know how it's going to impact you until you actually use it. Yeah, I love it.
I love your insight on that, because that's totally what it is. Like, both people who made a Momo map and then even myself with my Momo map, we were like, this thing's cool, but I'm not using it. And especially since I discovered that I'm autistic, I'm like, oh, I have this tool that is helping me through any challenge. And I've been cultivating an intentionality around it. Like, I'll have a day off and I'll just feel really understimulated. Like, I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. I feel so restless. What should I do? But I'm exhausted, so I don't want to do anything. Like, I get stuck in that a lot. And I'll use my map. I'll identify a few things off my map and be like, oh, this is something that feels really supportive right now. And I find what's accessible. And that's exactly what it is. It's like taking that tool and actually using it, and like using it more and more to where it starts becoming natural. And I love the idea that someone could take a treasure hunt again. They could be like, wow, I'm really, you know, not connected to my map. I call it being off the map. And we'll just be back on the map. I know. I love it. And I love it. It's like Marie Kondo's Sparks Joy idea, that like, it's a sensation that you feel in yourself. Like, when you're off the map, you know it. And when you're on the map, you know it. And I'm really excited both for my own journey and for other people who choose to go on a treasure hunt to feel that feeling more.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So excited. How are you feeling about your year ahead?
Yeah, I'm feeling, I don't know. Some days I'm feeling really excited and other days I'm like, who knows? I don't know. Everything's terrible. But then other days I'm like, no, there are good things on the horizon. So I'm going to lean towards good things on the horizon. I love what I'm doing. Just like the writer's helm. I love this community that Gabby and I have created. And, you know, everybody's getting to know each other better. we are, yeah, there's just a lot of bonding and great things happening and writing and challenging each other. And it's been really lovely. And then I also am putting on a presentation in this, there's an organization called Recovering from Religion. And I'm putting together a presentation for them specifically around how we can use creativity after coming out of religion, and using creativity to find ourselves, either actually sharing it or just like daring ourselves to create it in the first place. So I'm really excited about that. And just, I just really want to, one, work with writers, but two, just help people come out of religion and actually find themselves, because I really didn't realize, I mean, I left religion. How long have I known you?
Is it 12 years?
12 years. So 11 years ago, because I was still in the religion that first year. So 11 years ago or so, I left religion. And only these past 2 years have I actually started to really come into myself and find out who I am. And so if I can help more people feel that and get in touch with that sooner, then like that will just, I mean, that will make everything in my life happy. So that's definitely where I'm moving toward.
I feel like that is, anytime you talk about that, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. Like that's your power. Like that, it's so specific, but that like ex-religious storytelling to move forward and use creativity to like get into your authentic self, like that is just such a powerful force that people aren't really doing. Like I'm sure it's out there, but like we need you really badly.
Oh. Thanks.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of people too. I'm like reflecting on this as we're talking about it. I talk to a lot of people where we just kind of go around in circles about how messed up all the religious stuff was. And it's cathartic. Like I love to get in a room of people who are ex-church kids and just talk about, it's great. It's great. And also it can feel really stagnant. Like once you do it a bunch, you're like, okay, well, what are we doing now? Like, how are we moving forward? And I don't think that we have the tools to, especially people who don't see themselves as creative, they just keep circling. And if someone like you were to say, like, here's a storytelling workshop, like here's, you know, let's write some of this, let's write about the first moment you felt free. Like that has so much power and you have that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I want to harness that power more because I seem to lose it every once in a while.
I think it's hard because you're also operating in a neurotypical setting of like being an editor, like
editors
just take work on and edit it. And that can feel, you know, a little bit out of that lane. Especially if you're not finding people who are writing the kind of stuff that's super aligned with it.
Yeah. And it is really interesting how like there is this push and pull with my business of like the really technical aspect of it, which is like, I can find a lot of grammar issues. I don't know. They pop out at me. I see them. And so like there's one skill, but then there's this other part of me that's like, but I want to do all of this other stuff. And like, it's more along, like I used to want to be a therapist, and it's like that drive that still wants to take over. And it's like, yes, but I want to help people in this area. So they are wrestling, and I am working on finding their harmony.
Yeah. Those are two very different things that can also coexist. And that's hard.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we are going to wrap up. So 1 year anniversary was something that you've made recently that was ugly.
I have started using my art journal a lot more. And I just randomly one day decided to draw what I ate. And every day since then, I've drawn every single meal that I have. And
I love that.
And yeah, and it's a really interesting thing that's been happening with my autistic brain. Like now that I know I'm autistic, visual stuff often makes a lot more sense to me. So it's really hard for me to conceptualize like, what did I eat today, and to eat intuitively, which I'm working on, work in progress. But there's just something about the intentionality of being like, oh, I had this, and then I draw my little doodle, and then I had this, and I draw my little doodle. And they're just like ugly little drawings. Like, I know what they are, but I don't know if it'd be clear to other people, nor do I care. Yeah. But it's such a nice little practice. And it's also just a bit of creativity every, you know, like few hours throughout my day. It's just a little doodle.
I love that.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it.
That's so much fun.
Yeah. What about you?
I took some inspiration from Medora's book, and I decided to ugly paint my fingernails, which was so fun. And they ended up looking like the colors from like those 90s water cups, you know the ones. Yeah. The whoosh whoosh. yeah, so I absolutely love them. They are delightful. And now I'm just like wondering why I haven't been painting my nails like this the whole time, because painting my nails always stressed me out, because I could never, like, I almost never do it, because it takes me, like, I gotta concentrate, I have to really focus not to get the paint on my skin. And I mean, I still did my best to not get paint on my skin, but like, it was just a lot more fun. Like, I didn't need like an even layer all the way across. It was just like splash it on there and wait for it to dry and then add some more splashes. So it's like a really fun, nice thing to do in my evening.
I'm very happy. They also just look so cool, and they look so perfect for Medora's book, which I also, by the way, I instantly bought it, like saw the post, went and bought it immediately, and I have received it and now I'm reading it. But the cover is so beautiful and the whole book is so beautiful, and then your nails look so good with it, and it's just very lovely.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I loved the combination. I just keep staring at my nails, and it's just like bringing my ugly art with me everywhere I go, which is like really nice.
Yeah. I actually, oh my gosh, that reminded me. This isn't like an ugly thing, but it is a random thing. Maddie got me a set of sticker nails. I love sticker nails because I get so stressed out with paint. And that set had like two sparkly ones. You could just put on random sparkly ones. And my wedding ring is sparkly, and I have a sparkly one on this finger. And I am literally indefinitely going to have a sparkly ring finger. And that's just how I do my nails on. I just love them.
Perfect. I love that.
I love how like non-neurotypical things like that can be. Like, we can just do our nails however we want, and it's great.
Yeah. So good. I just I'm surprised it took me this long to like think of that.
Me too. But yeah. Like,
inspiration struck.
I love having just like random nails, different colors. Like, it just feels really good to me, and I don't know why. It's so weird that it's like a euphoric thing, but it genuinely does feel really good. So if anyone's listening to this, we encourage you to try something different with your nails.
Yeah. Just go have more fun with them. I was thinking next I want to do like just like ugly polka dots. Ooh, and just like make a bunch of dots and like smear them all together and like see what that looks like.
That's cool. I like that.
All right. Thank you, Em, for coming back. I have missed you. It has been nice to actually talk about myself and my business again, and I think get some good perspective on what I've been experiencing. I swear, whenever we record podcast episodes, it's just like business therapy.
I literally process things that I would not have otherwise, which I think is the beauty of ugly conversations.
Yes, absolutely.
I also just want to say congratulations on how beautifully you have carried this podcast and the amazing guests you've had. And it's just very, I know it's an ugly podcast, but it is a beautiful, ugly podcast.
Thank you. That's really sweet to hear. I'm really proud of it. And I wouldn't have started it without you.
Oh, I was the doula, and then I let you carry the baby.
Yes, exactly. You were there for the first 6 months or however, and then you're like, all right, now you got this.
I made sure the baby was alive, and then let you take care of it.
Yes, you did. All right, thank you everybody for listening, and as always, keep it ugly.
Keep it ugly.
The Ugly Podcast is created by me, Lauren Alexander of Scribe and Sunshine. It is produced and sort of edited, also by me, and written and directed by absolutely nobody. If you like the podcast, be sure to rate and leave a review on your preferred platform and share with the creative people in your life. If you're interested in learning more about what I do, head to scribeandsunshine.com to learn more about my Ugly Art 101 course, my Perfectionism Workshop, my editing services, and the Writer's Helm, which is an online community for writers co-captained by myself and Gabby Goodlow. As always, keep it ugly.